Father God, we thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for waking us once again, Lord, as we come to you, Lord. Father God, humbly, Father God. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you are Lord, that you are God, that you are Yahweh, Lord. And we just bless your name this morning. Hallelujah, God. We give you permission to have your way. We welcome you in, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Just take over today, Lord. Lord, we thank you for every sacrifice of time that's been made this morning, Father God, to come here. What your Spirit is saying to us, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for every avenue that you have given us, Father God, to be a blessing to your people, Lord. Father God, continually use each one of these clay vessels, Father God, as your instrument. Hallelujah, God. Vessels of honor, Father God, to lift, hallelujah, you up, Lord. Your word says we lift you up, Lord, that you would draw all men unto you, Lord. So, Father God, as we, hallelujah, focus on that today and throughout this season, Lord, throughout this holiday season, Lord, that we will be careful as your, hallelujah, as your royal priesthood to lift you up, to give you all the honor and the glory, Lord. And, Lord, as we apply this word, Father God, that's continually, hallelujah, coming to us, Lord, we just thank you, Father God, that, yes, Lord, you will use it, God, to destroy yokes and break chains, Father God. Hallelujah, to heal, deliver, and set captives free, Father. Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for each and every voice, each and every comment on this morning, Lord. Father God, we thank you for clarity, Lord. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah, that every person that comes to this call, God, Father God, will get what they need. Father God, will have an understanding that their ears are inclined to hear, Father God, and hallelujah, God, that you will use that word, Father God, that's been planted in the soil of their life, Father God, hallelujah, to break up fallow ground, hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we just thank you this morning, God, that you are purposeful, God, that you are purposeful in our lives. So we thank you, Father God, for the spirit of commitment and dedication to stay focused. Hallelujah. We come against every seven ballot spirit. We bind up every spirit of distraction on this morning, Lord. Hallelujah, God, that we will stay focused, hallelujah, on that call that you have placed before us, Lord. Father God, we thank you that we will not grow weary, Father God. We will not give up. Giving up is not an option, Father God, for your children. So we thank you, Lord. Father God, as you use us to plow, hallelujah, God, up this ground, Father God, as we come against the spirit of tradition and religion, Father God, that the walls will come down, Lord. And we thank you for raising up pastors, shepherds after your own heart that will feed your people with knowledge and understanding. And Lord, we thank you, hallelujah, God, for you are faithful, Lord, and we judge you as faithful. We judge you as righteous, Father God, in every situation and circumstance, Father God. We thank you. We lift you high, Father God, and we give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise today, Father God. Hallelujah, and we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Five Soul Conference Show. We are excited this morning. We have for so many weeks just not been able to have the consistency that we normally have, and that's been for probably due mostly to this holiday season, and secondly due to the fact that we've had our apostle on a couple of times, and so as a result of that, we have not had the level of consistency that a lot of the callers or a lot of the participants in this call are used to. Nonetheless, we are very, 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 very pleased to be able to pick up on teachings that we've had. Thank you. On teachings that we have had in the latter part of this year, somewhere around November. This particular teaching today is a continuation of what we did on, I think it was the 27th of, no, let me see. I think it was the 27th of November. And let's see, it was the, yeah, it was November the 27th. We talked about practical application of the believer, or practical application of the new convert, or the person who has really, really experienced Christ in his fullness. And what does that look like? What do we do once we have received Christ, once Christ has come up and lived on the inside of us? We're on the inside of him. He's on the inside of us. And we understand that because he's on the inside of us, our desires have changed. A lot of the things that we used to do, we don't want to do anymore. And so what do we do with that? What's the next step? What should that motivate us to do? And all these teachings, somehow, if you listen to them, if you go back and you listen to them, if you have an interest in going back and listening to them, you will find that there's a common thread in them that really, really deals with the individual after salvation. You know, after true salvation, you know, we've talked about the indicators of salvation. We've talked about how do you know you're saved for real? How do you know someone who is pouring into your life, someone who you may have an idea of whether or not you want to know whether or not what they're telling you is actually what they're living? You know, one of the proof positive indicators we've proven through the Word of God is that the fruit, and you know, so many times we've heard people say, "Yeah, we don't judge people, but we are fruit inspectors." Well, yeah, that's true. We are fruit inspectors to a degree, but the fruit that we're looking for, you have to ask yourself, how can that be? How can someone act as if they have the fruit? How can someone convince us that they have the fruit and they really don't have the fruit? Well, the way that they can do that is if you're looking for something that doesn't come from the heart, if you're looking for a behavior that can be acted out, if you're looking for a behavior that a person can pretend that they have and they don't have, you're going to be fooled. You're going to be fooled. We were in a meeting, staff meeting, with some of the leaders that we're in the body of Christ with, and you know, just to show you how you have to really, really, you have to really not just know the Word of God. The Word of God has to be active in your life. It has to be activated in your life. And so we found out that one of the particular churches that we support and that we're a part of, the pastor who has been pastoring for probably a little over 20 years, you know, he was talking about how he had to learn here recently that because people come in gifted, because people come in talented, and sometimes they have the presentation to give you, that you can't pick leaders based off of that. You can't determine whether or not a person is genuine in their faith. They've had a genuine experience with Christ. You can't tell from the presentation that they're giving you. You can't tell sometimes from the way that they talk, you know. And so it just pointed to that teaching that we talked about on how to be proof positive and how to be able to determine whether a person is really, really, really in the body of Christ, how to determine whether or not they really had a genuine experience with Christ. And that's not always easy, you know. Just to touch back on that, what we talked about is that although we're fruit inspectors, we should just be looking for one fruit. You know, the Bible talks about the works of the flesh are manifest, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, loving-kindness, meekness, and things in that line. But all those attributes that I just mentioned, they come from one fruit. And that fruit is love. You know, when a person loves genuinely, that can't be fake. That's not something you can pretend. When you love, now watch this, not love your boyfriend, not love your wife, not love your kids, not love the person who just gave you $1,500, you know, not that kind of love. Genuine love, godly love, agape love. Genuine love just causes you to love people, period, because it's a reflection of the presence of God in your life. And so when you have the presence of God in your life and God is in you, working in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure, you know, you have to love the brethren. The Bible tells us in 1 John, it tells us that we go from death to life because we love the brethren. So that's a proof positive indicator of you being in the body of Christ. So all these, you know, all these different things that we've heard in the past that reflect salvation, you know, most of those can be mimicked, you know, most of those can be pretended, you know, but genuine love for people can't. So if you're going to be in ministry, if you're going to be someone who is, if you're going to be someone who is trying to reflect the fact of that you're serious about the things of God, and you call yourself a fruit inspector, that's the fruit you should be looking for, just a genuine love for people. You know, the Bible says that God loves without dissimulation, which just means that there's no favoritism. He just loves. So when you have a genuine love for people, we know that Christ is in you, working in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. So, complete my statement here, you know, this pastor who was telling us about that, you know, he's been involved in ministry for quite a few years. He's been involved in ministry for over 30 years. I mean, he's had the opportunity to minister to thousands of people. And I mean, when I say thousands of people, I literally mean thousands of people. But it just goes to show you, you don't do what you know, you do what you believe. And so what he was basically saying to us is, look, this is what I was believing. I was believing that people, you know, can be an asset to the ministry because of their talent, because of their gift. And once you put those people in positions in ministry because of their talent and because of their gift, if they don't have a genuine love for people, it's going to be reflected in what you see. It's going to be reflected in their inability to be able to minister to people on a higher level than just the I love my cousin, you know, or I love my wife, or I love my girlfriend, you know. It's a higher level than that. It goes beyond just the natural love. It goes to the God class. That's the way I like to refer to it, because the God class doesn't love people with any particular, preference. You know, it just expresses God's love the way God loves his entire creation on the same level. So, put a pin in the wall right there. You know, that's a proof positive indication that we can know whether or not a person is really, really saved. They really saved because they love the brethren. They have been snatched out of darkness and placed in the kingdom of light as a result And as a result of their position in Christ, Christ is in them and they're in Christ, they will reflect a love that is without dissimulation. Now, you know, I'm not sure why I'm talking about this, because I know it's important. I think I'm being led by the Spirit. Matter of fact, I know I'm being led by the Spirit in saying this, but, you know, love without dissimulation, doesn't require responsibility. It's not a mushy love. It's not an emotional love. It's a love that loves you right where you are, but it requires some fruit from your life that says, I am growing. I am growing in my dependency upon God, because, you know, the best leaders in the entire universe, okay, is leading you to God. They're not leading you to them. They're not making themselves God in your life. They're not causing you to be dependent upon them. They are giving you a hand up. They're connecting with you. They're allowing God in them to love you, but they're also requiring you to grow from where you are. Get up. Get to a place where your dependency is upon God. Get to a place where your relationship with God is what you look forward to have the needs in your life provided for. See, Jesus talks about in Matthew, the sixth chapter, Matthew 6:33, he talks about, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, when we look at 6:31 and 6:32, you'll find out that he talks about how the Father knows the things that you have need of. Okay, and he is contrasting that statement with saying this. He says, look, he says, take no thought of what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or whether or not you shall be clothed. He says, because these are the things that the Gentiles seek after. Okay, so the things that the Gentiles seek after can't be your major focus. Your major focus has to be on the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And, you know, we've heard it said so many times, especially in those circles, in those arenas that we hear this scripture quoted. You say, well, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, the kingdom of God, we know what that is. We know that's an invitation to salvation. Well, what is this righteousness? His righteousness, they say, is, this is what we hear, this is what I've heard most of the time, his righteousness is God's way of doing things, God's way of doing and being right. Well, that's still kind of awkward, because God's way of doing and being right, if I don't have the proper understanding of the word, or I don't have someone who is teaching me properly in the word, I could misunderstand that. So what does his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, what does that mean? That means that I don't pursue to please God based on my works. I pursue to please God based on Christ, based on me having a sincere experience with Christ, on having a real life encounter with Christ when I'm saved. So when I'm saved and I have a genuine experience with Christ, first of all, sin is not going to be my focus anymore. Sin is no longer in me producing the acts of sin, the noun sin, the entity, the spiritual being that produces the actions or the acts of sin is no longer in me. Now I have Christ in me. Now I have a divine nature. Now I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And as a result of me being in Christ and Christ is in me, my desires change. My wants change. Now, does that mean that I don't have certain thoughts, that I don't have certain habits in thought, habits in emotions, habits in behavior that I still struggle with? No, that doesn't mean that. But what it means is under that, I no longer want to do those things. I might find myself doing those things, but under that, I really don't want to do those things. And so, therefore, Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3 comes into effect when it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. After you've had that genuine experience with Christ, you have to stop being conformed to this world, and you have to allow the Word of God to transform your thinking. And once your thinking is transformed, then we go to John 15, where Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Okay? Well, what does that mean? Well, that means this. The fruit is produced by the vine, not the branches. Let me say that again. That fruit of love, genuine love, is produced by the branch. We know God is love. So God is producing genuine love, and because I'm the branch, by the time it gets to the end of the branch, the fruit is love, joy, peace, understanding, long-suffering, meekness, kindness. And you know what? It doesn't have a preference. It's not expressed to just those who do what I think they ought to do. See? So my mind is being renewed to the fact that Christ is in me. I am Christ. Christ is in me, and I am in him. So I'm an extension of him. So my mind is being renewed to the fact that Christ is in me, and when I read the Word of God, that's to let me know who I have become. That's not to send me on a course to pretend better than the folks winning Grammy Awards. See? Christ is in me, so he's producing my behavior. He's producing the desire that I have to do those things that I'm reading in the Word that I should be doing. And so I'm not sure why the Holy Spirit has me saying this at this point. I'm not sure who I'm speaking to, but understand this. A genuine experience with Christ causes your desires to change. You don't want to continue to do what you're doing. You don't want to continue to be in the same environment, to be around the same people, to go through the same thing over and over and over and over again. I know a lot of us have been in settings and been surrounded by people who, for the most part, we see them just doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And we scratch our heads and say, man, and we find ourselves doing sometimes the same thing over and over and over and over again. Well, you know what? The difference is between those who are genuinely saved and those who are not genuinely saved is the ones that are genuinely saved still has a love wall. They love in a way that proves to us that, guess what, Christ is in them. They may have some thinking, they may have a level of thinking, they may have a level of exhibition of a habit or a behavior, or, you know, they may express anger, they may express other emotions that's a result of them not renewing their mind yet. But still, we ought to be able to see a genuine love, because Christ is not going to live in you and you just not love people. The Bible says that we can tell that you've gone from death to life because you've loved the brethren. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I have some habits in my life, some habits in my thoughts, some habits in my emotions, some habits in my behavior that my mind has not been completely renewed concerning, but I will express a genuine love for people because I have the very God of heaven living on the inside of me. Now, those who don't express that, we know that, guess what? They've just not had a genuine experience with Christ. It's just that simple. It's not my word, it's God's word. It's not what I think, it's what God thinks. And so, you know, kind of returning back to what my original, what the original focus of this particular teaching this morning was we talked about, as I said, we talked about the identity of the intercessor, and we've been talking about the identity of the new convert, the identity of somebody's texting me early this morning. They need to be on the conference call. Let me see. Glory to God. You know, well, that's another indicator of whether or not the people in your life are pursuing the things of God, because the people in your life, if they're pursuing the things of God, they know what you're doing. They are aware of your seriousness about the things of God. They are aware of, you know, the Bible studies that you attend. They are aware of the church services that you attend. They are aware when you do something that's associated with the kingdom. And in their mind, they're not trying to contact you while you're doing those things because they know how important it is to you. So I'm not sure who this is, but I just invited them in on the conference call. Moving right along, you know, the identity of the believer, the identity of the new convert, the identity of the intercessor, okay? All that is based on genuine experience with Christ. After you have a genuine experience with Christ, the identity that you take on from the position that you're now in. And so the identity that you take on from the position that you're now in, you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Your Christ is in you and you're in him. He's working in you both to will and to do according to your good pleasure. Now, then we talked about the authority of the believer, the authority. What do we have as a result of Christ's finished work? Well, what we have as a result of Christ when it finished work is we have been restored to the place where Adam fell, before Adam fell. What was our responsibilities? What did God give Adam to do before the fall? What kind of authority, what kind of power, what kind of assignment did Adam have before the fall? Because the second Adam restores us to a position in God, to a relationship with God before the fall. See? So all these things that we've been teaching have been slowly but surely adding to our understanding, adding to our realization, adding to even this, a full assurance in God. A full assurance in God. And so having a full assurance in God causes us to be able to operate in those things that Christ has given us by grace. See? Grace has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Okay? Grace has given us, blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now we move to how do we access what grace has given us? What grace has given us, how do we move that into a place where we can see it actively working in our life? Well, it's the same process. It is the same process that has been that starts our experience with Christ, that ends our experience with Christ, that starts our experience with manifestation of the things of God unto the fruition or unto the realization of that happening in our life. You know, the last call that I referred to when I started this call this morning from the 27th of November, we talked about how we would give you a practical explanation, or a practical way to be able to move from hearing the word, from understanding the word, from making the word the sole reason you do what you're doing. See, because we don't do what we know or what's on the forefront of our minds. We do what we believe, what's stored in our subconscious mind, what's being moved into our spirit from our soul. That's what we do. We're doing what we believe. We're doing what we believe, okay? And I'm not sure who is it that just entered in on the call, but, you know, it's a common thing now, and we ask you to do a *6 on your phone. So therefore, if you're just listening to the call while you're doing your morning chores or you're preparing, some people listen to these calls on, you know, preparing for work, preparing the children to go to school or doing other things. And if you're not careful, if you don't *6 and mute your phone, what'll happen is we'll hear all the background noise from what you're doing. So if you don't mind, hit *6 on your phone, and toward the latter part of the call, you can hit *6 again. And what will happen is you'll be able to give your input, your comment, or if you have a question, you'll be able to ask that. Now, going back to what I was saying, you know, our everything has led us to this teaching this morning. And I see where, for the most part of the call, we've basically just been reviewing what we've done thus far. And so the next phase of practical application comes from, you know, on this call on November 27th, we talked about hearing the word, we talked about seeing the word, we talked about perceiving the word, and we talked about receiving the word. Now, I'm going to give a short explanation of the hearing, seeing, perceiving, and receiving. Okay, short explanation of hearing, seeing, perceiving, and receiving is, first of all, hearing the word is not just hearing something in your ear. It refers to a phrase that's in the Hebrew language that's called Shema. It means to hear with the intent of doing. Okay? That's Shema. Hear with the intent of doing. Okay? So, to wrap my mind around that, when I hear with the intent of doing, I'm paying attention. I'm not being distracted by this, by that, by this, by that, by this, by that. Because those distractions come as a result of habits in thinking. Those distractions come as a result of habits in behavior. Those distractions come as a result of habits in emotions. And the reason they come is because a lot of times the enemy has set up strongholds in our minds that keep our minds toiling all the time. You know, people say you have a busy mind. People say you focus in on this, and I understand multitasking, but multitasking for the child of God is focused on doing something that is producing, that is allowing the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit of love, to produce something that is profitable for first of all for you and for the kingdom. Okay, but more so for the kingdom. And as a result of you doing something that's profitable for the kingdom, you automatically benefit from it. So a lot of times we have busy minds, and this is calling our attention. That's calling our attention. Well, you know what? I need to do this. I could do this. Why? Well, the reason that you're doing those things is because your mind hasn't zeroed in on the fact that what you're hearing is something that you have to hear and do. Let me give you some scripture on it. Let's look at Mary and Martha. Lord. Look, my sister sitting here, and I'm busy about trying to get stuff ready for you. You know what he said? He said, this is what he said. He said, you know what? He said, there's one thing that's important. And because she's chosen that important thing, I'm not going to take it away from her. See? So we have to recognize that the word is most important. Because if we allow our minds to do what they've always done, they're gonna just by the fact that the strongholds that are usually set up in our mind come from the world, the system of this world, the place that we've just come out of, it's Antichrist. So anytime the word is being sown for the potential of it finding place in your heart, so therefore it can produce fruit, it's Antichrist. So it's gonna make your mind busy. It's gonna cause your mind to be so busy to where you can't focus in on it. But the one advantage you have is, guess what? It's your mind. So the moment you think about the big yellow bus, your mind reflects the thought that you just had. Just like when I said that, your mind went on big yellow bus. So when you focus in on what you're hearing, your mind has to focus in on what you're hearing. But if you don't focus in on what you're hearing, your mind is going to have you busy trying to do this, trying to do that, trying to find this, it's things that if you don't recognize, if you don't have an exposure to, you just think they're normal. You just think that you should be doing them. While all the while, the devil has set up a stronghold in your mind, and through the habits that you have in your mind and in your body, guess what? You're distracted by that. Going back to the teaching, hearing alludes to the word Shema, okay? Hear with the intent of doing. Okay, seeing is with the eyes of your understanding. It's not seeing with your physical eyes, although sometimes seeing with your physical eyes, it complements the hearing. But the seeing that the scripture refers to in Matthew 13 and Mark 4, when it talks about the parable of the sower, Jesus talks about how hearing they cannot hear, and seeing they do not see. This is the type of seeing that he's talking about. You know how sometimes when you're reading something or someone's explaining something to you, and you say, well, yeah, and you know, in our black colloquialism or in our black ebonics or in the way that we talk sometimes we say, see what I'm saying? Well, see what I'm saying means you don't see my words. See what I'm saying means you actually understood what I said. See? So now seeing, so hearing is hearing with the intent of doing. Seeing is listening with the intent of understanding. Perceiving is, now I got it. Now I understand. Now I understand. Man, now this makes sense. That's the perceiving aspect of it. Now receiving it is, after I've determined that it makes sense, guess what? Now my thoughts are being motivated by what I now understand. You know, for the Christian, for the person who is in the body of Christ, for the person who has had a genuine experience with Christ, we can no longer know and act like we don't. We can no longer know and act like we don't. So there's no way that we can know and then still make decisions based off of the fact that we don't know. That's not going to happen. See, that's the genuineness of having a true experience with Christ. When I have a true experience with Christ, my believing is changing.
And as a result of my believing is changing and I recognize the responsibility of me understanding the word, once I understand the word because I'm believing what God is saying, I now filter my decisions through my new belief that's in the word of God. So the receiving aspect of it is now I have something to base my decisions off of. See? Now I have something to base my decisions off of. Now I can no longer just make decisions based off of what's running around in my head. Now I can make decisions based off of my impulses, my urges, my cravings, my desires. See? Sometimes we love people based off an urge, based off a craving, based off a desire, based off a soul tie. We love how they make us feel. You know? And so now, because I love how this person makes me feel, guess what? Now instead of me making sober decisions based off of the word of God, I'm basing my decisions off of the fact, off of how they make me feel. Say, man, they make me feel so good, you know. When he touched me, or when he do this, when he do that, when she touched me, or when she do this, she do that. Man, that just sent chill bumps through me. Okay. But you know what? That's going to land you in debt. That's going to land you in debt. If that's how you're basing the decision for your life on how this person makes you feel, that's going to land you in debt. Not debt like you owe somebody, debt like you end up in hell. So understanding is perceiving leads me to receiving. See, when I perceive it, knowing that it's the word of God, and I know that I have to base my life upon it, now I start making my decisions based on it. And after I make my decisions based on it, now it's close to the end of the call, and I'm just getting to the topic of the teaching this morning, which is faith. Faith. Well, all of what I've said thus far is the fuel for my faith. See? So the fuel for my faith comes from what I have heard, what I see, what I perceive, what I receive, and now because I've made my decisions based off of it, now it's motivating my behavior. And faith deals with action. Faith is action. Now, we understand that sometimes the word faith is used to associate with a belief system like Islam, like Christianity, like Buddhism, you know, like some of the world religions that are out there. That is one form of referring to a person's faith, what belief system they have. But the word faith that we're using this morning is to describe what I see you doing. So because it's used to describe what I see you doing, it's alluding to the faith that is described in the book of James. Scripture for that is James 2:17. James 2:17. It says this. It says, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead being alone. So in other words, now this word faith deals with my belief system. See? Now, even so, Christianity, if it has not works, is dead being alone. Now you say, well, Brother Charles, I thought we were saved by grace through faith. Okay. The word faith there and the word faith here is two different words. It says, verse 18, it says, yeah, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Think about that. A man may say, you have faith, and I have works. And I say, show me your faith. Show me what you're believing. Show me the belief system that you have without your works. Impossible. Because you have to show the belief system you have by what you're doing. Your behavior is an expression of the belief system that you have. You're only doing what you believe. See that? You're only doing what you believe. I'll show you what I believe by what I'm doing. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. Watch this. Even the devils believe and tremble. But wilt thou obey man that faith without works is dead? You don't know that the belief system that you say you have without the expression of it is dead? In other words, it's null and void. It can't happen. It's impossible. So that's for all those people that we know. I know none of y'all do that. All those people that we know that says, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, but when you look at what they're doing, it's opposite. I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. But what you're believing and what you're showing me by what you're doing, you believe in, don't have nothing to do with Christianity. Think about that. Because you know what? When the rubber hits the road, when the hard times hit, the only thing you're going to do is what you believe is going to work. Hands down. The only thing you're going to believe is what you think is going to work. So when we see you expressing your faith is telling us what you believe. So if you believe God, then your behavior is going to reflect your belief in God. If you believe something other than God, whatever it is, whether you believe it's your money, whether you believe it's your man, whether you believe it's your woman, whether you believe it's your house, whether you believe it's your car, whether you believe it's your job, when the rubber hits the road, we're going to be able to tell because that's what you're going to run to because you think that's what's going to work. Okay? Now watch this. It gives us an example. It says, was not Abraham our father justified by what he did when he offered Isaac up on his altar? See, he showed that he believed in God because he says, okay, God gave you to me. If God wants me to kill you, then I got to kill you. If God wants me to sacrifice you, then I got to sacrifice you because I'm believing in God. He gave you to me, and so therefore I have to express my belief in and just like he gave you to me, if he wants to raise you from the dead or he wants to give me one just like you, he can do that. So let me express what I'm believing by what I'm doing. Let me express my faith by this work. See, the scripture was fulfilled with said Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. And it was imputed to him for righteousness. Going back to what we said about Matthew 6 and 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay, look at Abraham's righteousness. Abraham's righteousness was believing what God said. And then basing his decisions, whether or not, in this particular example, whether or not he would offer his son up for a sacrifice. See, if he didn't believe God, he wouldn't have did it. So because he took his son and brought him, set him upon an altar to sacrifice him to God, as God had asked him to do, that was him expressing his faith. But his faith was fueled by the fact that he believed God, and God caused him to be right. God caused him to be right, the Bible says right here, and he was called the friend of God. See that? So seeking you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness deals with you believing God and then you expressing your belief by what you are doing. See that? Verse 24, you see how then by works a man is justified, not by faith only. In other words, a man is justified by what we see him doing, not by what he said he believed in. See, that last word, faith, right there, deals with the belief system that he says he has. Then it gives us another example. Likewise, also, was not Rahab the harlot? The prostitute, the call girl, the escort, Wasn't she justified by what she did when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? So if she wouldn't have believed that they were serving the true and living God, then she would have let the people come in and kill them. My time running away with me. I'm going to read this last verse and we'll stop there and we'll pick this up next Friday. For as the body without the spirit is dead, watch this. The spirit is the animator of the body. Your spirit is what gives your body the ability to do what it does. So once the spirit leaves the body can't move. The body can't reflect your personality. The body can't reflect who you are. It's dead. So is what faith without works is dead also. So me believing in, me saying I'm a Christian, and when you see what I'm doing, it doesn't have nothing to do with Christianity, you're lying. Stop lying. That's real relative language. That's right there up in your face. That's right there where you can understand it. It's real practical. If you say you are a Christian, but when we look at what you're doing, it doesn't have anything to do with Christianity, you just need to stop lying. Because we can see that. And remember, we started this call out by saying your love walk. How are you loving? And if you find it hard to love, I would say go back and do your first works. What is my first work, Brother Jackson? Go back and find out what it means to really believe, to really receive Christ. Because when you receive Christ, there's gonna be a push to love. If you find it hard to love, check your salvation. So we're gonna stop there. Any questions or comments this morning? Don't forget to *6, unmute your phone to make comments.
I was just thinking when you were talking in the beginning part of the call about fruit. You gave the example of when you say yellow bus, automatically that big yellow bus comes to mind, and I was also thinking when you said that that we can't pretend fruit that doesn't really exist. I mean, I was thinking about the fruit on a tree. I mean, and the scripture says that an apple tree doesn't produce oranges, and an orange doesn't produce apples. So whatever the tree, the fruit that's supposed to go along with that tree is what is produced on it. A tree can't pretend to produce one fruit when it's created to produce, a specific kind of fruit. And I wanted to ask you, that was just my comment. My question is, you talked about faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works, and so forth and so on. And I grew up in religious settings, you know, and that has been, you know, to me, and I thank God for being purged from that. But, you know, that seems to have always been a confusion among people in those settings, that what works is that scripture talking about, you know? And
right.
And could you clarify that again? Because and also, you know, when I think about works, you know, I go back to love, you know, which you said so clearly. And that scripture, the power that works in us, I think that it's the power of love. You know, the power that works in us, power
right.
of love is the power that
right. right.
exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, because love never fails. But in those scriptures, you know, those works that you talked about,
mm-hmm.
You know, go over maybe again with those
okay.
works.
Well, see, in this particular discourse of scripture, faith, the faith word that is used most often deals with my belief system, okay? It's not faith like an expression, like you know how you know we understand that faith is a verb in the biblical sense. Okay, in the biblical sense, it's a verb, but in the belief system sense, it describes my belief system. It you know, Christianity is my faith. So Christianity is the belief system that I use to incorporate my life decisions. Just like Islam is a belief system that some people use to incorporate the decisions for their life. Okay? So.
And which basis are you referring to? Which faith are you referring to in that scripture? The faith by my works, or
no. Well, the faith by my works is showing you the belief system that I am expressing by my works. Okay.
Okay.
The belief system that I have, because we're only doing what we believe. Okay. Regardless of what we're saying. What you see us doing, especially in times that are difficult, is reflecting what we're believing. And
I agree with that completely.
Huh? I'm sorry.
I mean, I agree with that completely.
Right.
It sort of
right.
all breaks down to that, you know?
Right. So if Christianity is my belief system, what you see me doing is reflecting that belief system. That's the works. See, the works is what my behavior is containing. See, what my behavior, what you can see in my behavior, what you see in my behavior, because I'm only doing what I believe, is letting you know where my belief system is, because my belief system is the fuel for what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
See, so if Christianity is my belief system, if I believe the word of God, then what you see me doing is reflecting that. What you see me doing is my works. Now, I don't get saved by what you see me doing, but I get saved by what I believe. So when I get saved by what I believe becomes the fuel for what you see me doing. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm. Are those works you're referring to simply works of the flesh or works of the spirit? you know, by my works.
Well, you know, when we talk about works, when we talk about works, we're really just talking about what a person is doing. And so, watch this. Those works are fruit that's on the tree. See, because although I am connected to life or death, you really don't know till you see me doing or saying.
Okay. And the reason I say that is because when from the religious background I came up, you know, works were defined by how busy you were in the church, how many positions you held, and just, you know, just, I don't know, even how much money you brought in, you know.
Now watch this.
Days you fasted and,
okay.
You know.
So,
that's how it was growing up religiously, and there always seemed to be a disconnect.
Well,
with people, even now in some people I hear, you know, when people talk about God need to see your fruit, and they're really looking outwardly, you know.
But wait a minute.
Looking outwardly.
But you're referring to what people are saying. Now, let's go back to what I said earlier. See, those people that you refer to in the church that were doing those things, what was motivating them doing those things? Was it a genuine love for people, or was it to get a better position with the pastor, or to win favor with the pastor, or to because when love, when genuine love motivates my works, man, I don't care who sees me.
See,
I don't care. I don't care what people think, because I know that I'm genuine.
Yeah. And so the problem actually was that, you know, there was also a disconnect between the love walk and, you know, the outward, display. The outward display. I was in a setting where, you know, and I guess I'll be identifying it, you know. And it's not like that anymore, because I've gone back and checked and I've asked God about it, but where there was a lot of money flowing, but I had to go somewhere else to experience the love of God in a way that impacted my life profoundly. I had to go somewhere else. God led me somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But the money and the outward prosperity was there at, you know, and I believe it's there now, but at that time it wasn't, you know, like that, you know.
Right.
It was a lot of rejection and meanness and, you know,
that was not motivated by love. That was not motivated by the Spirit of God. You know, the Spirit of God is doing things for genuine love. It was not so, hey, what about me? You know,
yeah.
It wasn't to get your attention to say, hey, look, you know what? I just gave $10,000 to the church. Y'all going to acknowledge me. Y'all, somebody going to see me. And as a matter of fact, Sister So-and-so, I don't like the way she do that. And you know what? If I just gave that $10,000, somebody need to say something to her. See, that's manipulation. That's a work of the flesh.
I know that. I got that. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other questions?
And love did motivate me to pray for that congregation, and granted, I did see a change. You know,
amen.
The proper intercessor, Janet,
amen.
That you are, I want you to know that I did see a change.
Amen.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Glory to God.
Any other questions or comments?
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Well, it is 8:04, and we're going to break away for the for this weekend and all the activities that we have this week. if you are in the area and you want to participate in our Christmas party, well, our outreach Christmas party, you can give us a call at 334-405-2571. If you know where we meet at Bayberry Point, you can come and join us tonight. I think we're starting at about 7 o'clock. Just give us a little heads up so we can make sure that we have a seat prepared for you and whomever you decide to bring along. So come and join us, sweetheart.
I just wanted to say something. I'm just so full right now. God is so awesome. We are excited, you can tell, about us getting together with the outreach team, just letting them know how much that God loves them, and just to encourage all of them that's been working so hard throughout this year to minister to the people and just to show God's love, like my husband was talking about, you know, and we believe that they have the heart of Christ. So if y'all just want to come out and just love on them tonight, they will be there. We have a special guest. She's probably on this call this morning that's going to be speaking in, to the lives of the people. So please come out and just don't bring anything. Just come. Just show your faith and be a support to the group and all that God is doing in Lafayette. As we look forward and make plans for 2016, we pray that you'll be a part.
Amen.
Go ahead and close the silent prayer, Jess. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you. You are so loving. You are so awesome. You're so merciful. You're so giving in all of our lives, Lord. And we're just humbled by that today. Hallelujah, God. And we realize, God, that it's not to be taken for granted. But, Father God, we thank you for allowing your love to be in control, God. And it's your love that oozes from our lives, Lord. Father God, and we just thank you, Lord, for using us to be not only an example, but an example, Father God, as you use these lives, Father God. Hallelujah, to be and show who you are, Father God, that your spirit will flow out of us, God, like never before. And Father God, even as we close out, as you close out this year, cause us to step into 2016, Lord. Let that light so shine, Father God. Hallelujah, God, that it will cause others to come running to you, Father God. Not about what we give, Father God, financially, or how proper we may be, Father God, with our speech or whatever it may be, Father God, which that glorifies you as well. But, Father God, we have an even greater desire, Father God, that it comes from our heart, that it's your spirit that's causing us, Father God, to be into you, Father. So, Lord, we declare and decree that, God, over everyone that's on this call this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. We declare that over everyone that we're in covenant with, Father. Hallelujah, God, that we be your light, Father God, that shine in dark places, Lord. And, Father God, we thank you for each and every participant. Bless their lives abundantly this weekend and throughout the Christmas holidays. Father God, that your love will stand up like the mighty force that it is, Father God. Hallelujah, God, as we step into the, hallelujah, the threshold of our families, homes and hallelujah, places, Father God, that you will use that love to destroy yokes and break chains in the lives of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Y'all have a blessed
day. Amen.
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 Amen.